Simon Kuf Tzadivav. Okay, we finished learning through Simon Kuf Tzadidal and how you become a Nida. Kuf Tzadihei, how you're supposed to act when you're a Nida. Now, the next five Simonim, our last five Simonim, are how to stop being a Nida, how to become Tahor again. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shivas Yomim Shazavas Oferes Mitzvilot Maschilim Makros Yom Shepaskelo. The seven Nikiyim that a Zava has to count, and nowadays we're all suffix Zavos, the Talmud of Zera. So the Shiva Nikiyim start from after the day that you are posek, what we call a Hefsek Tara. We'll see that we'll modify that a little later on. But let's say she sees two or three days, and she stopped leaving. She has to do a bedika on the last day of her period, before the Shiva Nikiyim, in order to have Tara before the Shiva Nikiyim. Meaning the Shiva Nikiyim need to be seven full days where she is muchsuk as clean, as not bleeding. How do you start the 7 days in a state of Tara? So you have to do bedika before the 7 days, so that the 7 days will be kulam be Tara. And just for example, if her period stops on Thursday, then on Thursday afternoon she doesn't have Sitara. The next 7 days from Thursday night to Thursday night are Shiva Nikiyim, which from the very beginning to the very end are clean, and then next Thursday night she goes to mikvah. So the easy way to teach this is that the afternoon of the Hefsetara, that night next week you go to mikvah, and then you have exactly 7 clean days in between. Okay, now that is reasonable. It makes sense that you would need a Hefsetara in order to start counting the Shiva Nikiyim. There is a big debate in the Rishonim. Is this a din d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Is that mean d'oraisa? It doesn't count the Shiva Nikiyim until you do a Hefsek Tara, because you need to, you need to be starting out in a state of cleanliness. Or maybe that's only chomer d'rabbanan. Okay, the Tosfos Rosh in Nida Daf Samach Tes brings down two opinions about it. Lamaisa, we are pretty machmer on a Hefsek Tara, and we definitely treat it as potentially a as a Daraisa need,
To the extent that we treat everything as Daraisa nowadays. So we take Hefsek Tara fairly seriously. I'm lacking into all the lumbus of exactly why we need a Hefsek Tara.
The main debate in Maseches Nida, in the Gemara, and in the Rishonim and Acharonim, is when does the Hefsek Tara have to happen? And you'd think just before the Shiva Nikiyim, pretty simple, but no. There's a Mishnah with up to three opinions. Nida Shabbat Ka'atva Yom Shvi'i Shachris U'matza Torah U'bin Ashmashas L'Refrisha U'la'achar Yom Badka U'matza Tmeya Harehi Bechez Ka'as Tahora. What if she checked herself, she didn't have Sekara, on the seventh morning? Right, in the old days, we were talking about Nida before Chavad Rav Zeira, in the time of the Mishnah. So Nida just waited 7 days. You won't have Sitara. So what about if she did a Hefsetara in the morning? So that's fine. Then she's Bechezkas Tara. Rabbi Yehuda says, No, you need a Hefsetara in a Mincha Lamala. There's some debate, which, as always in Shas, which Mincha Lamala? But the majority opinion is Mincha Ketana Ulamala, meaning the last 2.5 hours of the day. Yeah, that's the mainstream opinion. Then it doesn't count to Bechezkas Tomo. What's the reason? The reason is, here it's a little tricky. On the one hand, you're doing a Hefsek Tara. The Hefsek Tara proves that right now you're not bleeding. And then puts you Bechezkas Tara. So the Hefsek Tara says, right now I'm not bleeding, I'm Bechezkas Tara. But on the other hand, you have the Chazaka of your previous state. You have been bleeding until now. If you have been bleeding until now, maybe we should assume that you're going to continue bleeding. And that Chezkas Tumah of the day can override the Chezkas Tara. So that's a big question. You have the Chezkas Tumah of the day until now, you've been bleeding, so let's assume you're still bleeding. Versus the Chezkas Tara, you do 1 minute Hefsek Tara, so you know you're not bleeding right now. So says Rabbi Yehuda, in order for the Chezkas Tara to work, it has to be near the end of the day. If you do a Hefsek Tara in the morning, you have all day where you might still bleed, and that's not enough to be machzik you in Tara. Basically, let's say here is, Sunday, Monday, right? What's the borderline nowadays, around 5 p.m.?
right?
Yeah.
5:00 p.m. Let's assume maybe that's when the day switches. So Sunday was a Cheskas Tumah day.
Sunday was a Cheskas Tumah day. What do I want to do? I want to make Monday already a Tahor day. How do I do that?
So the problem is, if I do my Hefsek, let's say here is 9:00 a.m. If I do my Hefsek Kara Hay test right then
on the one hand, I could say now I'm going into Monday properly because last time I checked I was clean. On the other hand, you have like another 8 hours of a tummy day, and maybe those 8 hours of a chashash with the tummy day continuing can override the 1 minute in the hefsekara. So we're nervous about this.
Therefore, we say no. But if you do your hefsekara all the way at the end of the day, then I'm in cholamala.
Then you only have a little time left. Okay, that little time to chashash of the tummy of the day continuing is not enough to override the 1 minute that you found you were clean in the hefsekara. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, you need mina mincha ulamala, it's ma'akev, otherwise you're not b'cheskas tara, because if you're already near the end of the day, then you only have a little time of suspicious day afterwards. That's not going to undo your tara. But if you do it in the beginning of the day, then you have a lot of suspicious day afterwards, that might undo your tara. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Then the chacham say back to him, Afilu be shnayim lini do so badko matzah Torah bein shmoshes lo fri shalachman badko matzah tmei arayzi b'cheskas tara. No, even on the second day, if she finds she is tohar and she didn't check again in the late afternoon, let's assume that means then she is b'cheskas tara. Okay, and the Gemara says that so that's the Mishnah. Then in the Gemara later on, they have Rebbe who says, I once asked Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Shimon, who were his Rebbeim, what if she checked her on the seventh day in the morning? Is that good enough for Hefsekara? He said, yes, we're the Chachamim. We're not Rebbe Yehuda. He said, what about the sixth day? Fifth, fourth, third, second? He said, yes, that's all good. That's why I wrote in the Mishnah the second day. He said, I didn't ask him about the first day. But I think they would have said that's okay also, and I should have asked them, but I'm sure it's okay. All right, so here, which creates a certain suffix, like Rebbe said, he was sure the second day is okay, but he didn't actually have hard evidence of that. So the question is, how do we paskin? There are up to four different tanaim here, and the truth is, if you really want to analyze carefully and go through all the obscure Rishonim, you'll find that each of these tanaim can be interpreted in 4 or 5 different ways. But we'll just stick with the mainstream understanding of these Tanoim. First, you have the Tanakama. Says the Tanakama, Yom Zayin Shachris is good. Right? Yom Zayin Shachris is good enough. Then comes Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, he says, nope, you need Min HaMincha Ulamala. Then comes the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Right? The Chachamim Omrim. This is all the Mishnah. What do the Chachamim say? Even the second day. Again, Koshub Shat, the normal understanding of the Chachamim, even the second day in the morning. Yom Beis Shachris. Sagi. Right, is good enough. Then comes the Brisa of Rebbe. In the Gemara, says Rebbe, Afilu Yom Echad Shachris is good enough. Okay, this is the normal way to understand these Tanaim. So Rebbe's pretty clear, even the first day Shachris. Chachamim say even the second day Shachris, although Rebbe thinks they would have said even the first day Shachris and he had asked them. The Rabbi Yehuda said, "You need min hamincha l'mala."
This is the first day of the Shivan Akiyam, right?
No, of the period.
Of the period, okay.
Because you can't do your Hefsek Tara during Shivan Akiyam. The Hefsek Tara has to come before Shivan Akiyam, right. Of your period.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll see what the Svara is in a moment. The Tanakama, there is some debate what the Tanakama holds. It says the seventh day Shachris is good enough. So there is some debate in the Tanakama
says, Rashi, Yom Zion Shachris, Sagi, Avolo, Yom Vav. Only the seventh day, but not before that. Says, Tosfos, no. This, they're really the same as the Chachamim, the Tamikam and the Chachamim are the same. The seventh day is Lavdavka. That was just a common case. You remember in the days of Mida, why would anyone do a Hepsis before the seventh day? You know, you weren't counting Shivaki, and you're just going to Mikveh after the seventh day. And that is good enough. Okay. Let's see how we paskin. How do we paskin here? Yeah?
Does it matter whether the bleeding continues or not, or is it irrelevant? Like, let's say...
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Good question. Let's get to that. Now, what is the svaras here? Rabbi Yehuda says you always need minim and cholamala because the you always need minim and cholamala because otherwise there's just a whole significant portion of the day ahead of you that's mostly kistame, and that overrides the momentary cheskistara. The Rebbe says, no, it doesn't matter. We never worry about this. You could do your cheskistara whenever you want, you have a cheskistara. There are some compromises. The Chachamim would seem to say that no, the first day if you're bleeding, that's cheskistoma. Because the first day is like a day of tuma, and the day that the mayon opened is super cheskas tuma, and that's strong. However, the second day, that's already not so strong. It's not the day the mayon opened, therefore it's not as strong. And the Tanakhama, according to Rebbe, if Rashi, if there's really such a sheet, would say, well, since days of need in the Torah 7 days, therefore on the sixth day there's not a strong. On the seventh day there's not a strong cheskas tuma because the period's supposed to end. The days of need are over. But on the other day, since the days of need are still continuing, they have a stronger cheskas tuma. Okay, so that's the question. Which day has a strong cheskas tuma? The Yehuda says all days. The Rebbe says no days. Maybe the Chacham say the first day is a strong cheskas tuma, the second doesn't. And maybe the Tanakhama says days 1 through 6 have a strong cheskas tuma, but day 7 doesn't. Okay, now let's figure out how we paskin. Okay, how do we paskin? So, simple pshat is, which of these Tanoim should we paskin like? Who do you think we should paskin like out of these Tanoim? Who has the best name? The Chachamim, right? So pretty much everyone agrees that we paskin like the Chachamim. The question is just, what do the Chachamim hold about the first day? Right? So it's pretty much agreed that we paskin like the Chachamim, right? We paskin like the Chachamim, which is from day 2 and on, Shachris counts. What about day 1? Lefi Chachamim. What about day 1? Lefi Chachamim. What would be the din of day 1? Lefi Chachamim. So this is a three-way Machlok Rishonim. What might you think day 1 is Lefi Chachamim? What? Like... maybe the Chachamim are just Rebbe. After all, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. Who are the Chachamim? Rebbe's Rebbein. Rebbe Yossi Rav Shimon, who said the second day. But Rebbe himself was made in the one of the later of the Brisa that they would have all said the first day. So he only wrote the second day of the Mishnah. But he meant the first day also, which Rishon says this. The Rashba. Says the Rashba, Bedikas Shachris Sagi, and the Chachamim are the same as Rebbe. So why did he say in the Mishnah the second day? Because in the Mishnah he quoted what he heard from his Rebbeim. But since he told us privately that the first day is the same, so we know the first day is the same. Privately meaning in a price. So really, the Mishnah meant the same. Yeah?
I mean,
in the Mishnah they said even the second day Shachar is good enough. The Mishnah never said the first day wasn't. The second day is.
Yeah, why wouldn't?
So he wrote in the Mishnah what he heard from his Rebbein. The second day is good enough. Then he told us, what?
Why would they say it like that?
Because Rebbe only asked them the second day. He never asked them the first day.
Why?
Okay, why? I don't know. He's not sure why either. He doesn't know why either. He wonders on himself. Why did I only ask them the second day and not the first day? Now you're right. The Rashba is a little duffer because if Rebbe really thought even the first day, why wasn't he brave enough to put in the Mishnah? And if he wasn't sure of himself, then why should we be sure of himself? Right? So I understand you could say, look, if he wasn't confident enough to put Rishon in the Mishnah, then we shouldn't be confident enough to rely on it. But you could say no. Maybe in the Mishnah he just wanted to write the word explicitly, but he was confident that the first day is good enough.
So why would his Rabbeim have said in the second day than on the first day?
No, they didn't. The story was he asked them about day 7, then he asked them day 6, then he asked them day 5, then he asked them day 4, then he asked them day 3, then he asked them day 2. They answered what they were at. They answered what he asked. It's his fault for not asking good questions, which he kicked himself for afterwards. Okay, that's the Rosh was shot. However, not everyone agrees with this, you understand. What did Tosfos hold about this? What did Tosfos hold? Tosfos holds no. Tosfos holds it's very nice what Rebbe says in the Brisa, but that's Rebbe's personal opinion. You know, it's very nice. I tell you, you know what? Rebbe Moshe Feinstein didn't say this, but I'm sure he would have. That's very nice for me, but we don't paskin based on that. Okay, obviously not me, but even Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, it's very nice that he thinks his Rebbeim would have said, but Lemaisa they didn't, so we can't rely on that. So says Tosus, no. Vedika Shachris Lo Mahani on the first day, and therefore what should be the din of the first day?
Amen.
You shouldn't even have been Cholamala, right? Sarich. Right, bedika, meaning hefsek tara, min hamincha ulemala. Okay. However, there's a third possibility, and that's the sheet of the Ramban. And the Ramban, okay, everyone quotes the Ramban differently. The Ramban presents two dayas. It's hard to tell exactly which day he's paskin like, so we'll leave him out. What does the Ramban say? I mean, the Ramban's not 100% explicit, but this is what he's understood as saying. That... What?
The whole day is.
The whole day is no good. He says that the whole day is no good. After all, if they said the second day, they meant the second day and not the first day. Not the second day Shachris as opposed to the first day Shachris. The whole first, because the first day is such a strong Cheskas Toma that even Min HaMincha Lemala is not good enough. So says the Rambam, nope, even Min HaMincha Ulemala is not good enough on the first day. There's nothing you can do on the first day. Or is that true? Maybe there's something, just something that the Tanaim did not even care to discuss. What is that thing that the Tanaim didn't even care to practically discuss? Exactly. Says the Chacham and the Brice of Yehuda, what do they say? They say, Ilmala Yadel Munachas Be'ineha Kol Be'na Shmashos Yafata Omer. Eineha here is a euphemism. If her hand was in her eye, meaning if her hand was ba'oso makom, all bina shmashos, then that would work. But come on, no one's going to do that. What do they mean? If she did a bedika during the... Let's say, for example, let's assume we were not regular Orthodox Judaism. Let's say we're a different religion that was exactly like Orthodox Judaism, except that we know exactly when the day ends and the next day began. Right? And it was exactly 5:04 and 30 seconds. So then, there would be a simple solution. Do the bedika hefsek tara at 5:04 and 30 seconds, and there's no shash at all, right? That's got to be glot. Meaning, there's no way you can passel that. That's glot kosher. If you do it exactly the moment that Sunday ends and Monday begins, then you know you ended Sunday betara. Doesn't matter what the chazak of Sunday was. Sunday can be the most evil day ever. But you know you ended Sunday betara because 5:04 and 30 seconds. And therefore you know you started Monday betara, 5:04 and 30 seconds, and you'd be okay. If you could chap the moment when the days change, when the calendar flips, then you'd be okay. Say the Chum and the Brisa. Well, we have a suffix in Ashmashos, so we don't know when that is. It's sometime between, I'm not talking today's time, just making up, you know, between 5 o'clock and 5:30. So fine, if she could stick her finger but also muckle and keep doing a bedika from 5 to 5:30, that would work l'kuliam in all circumstances. There's no possible problem there. That's, you don't say any possible chash. But you can't do that. Right, but that's not practical, right? No one can do that. And therefore, it's not practical. But it could be, come up the later postgame, the Rashva comes up in the Chiddush, says the Rashva, maybe it is possible. It's a bit of a tzarech ion, you know, why Chazal did not think this was a, like, common thing to do. Or maybe they did, they certainly made it sound like not a practical thing.
But he says, obviously, you can't keep your del being in there, kobe nishmal. Says, what can you do? A moch dochuk. Moch meaning a cloth. Dochuk meaning squished in, right? What's the problem with dik? You have to check all the chorin is stuck in, all the cracks and crevices. How do you check the cracks and crevices? So, put your finger in, and you move your finger to check all the cracks and crevices. How do you do that without a finger? The answer is, well, if you take a big cloth and stick it in so that it expands to fill all the cracks and crevices, then, and you leave it there for half an hour, and then you take it out, then you can see, and if it's clean, then you know that at the moment when the calendar flipped, you were tahora, and you'll be okay. Now, the Gemara never actually talks about doing that, but assume all the Rishonim and Achronim, that has to work. I mean, there's no possible reason that shouldn't work. So therefore, they add to the Rambam, right? But moch dachuk kol bein hashmoshos is good enough. Okay, how do we paskin on this? How do we paskin? So here, you know, we're going to read it inside, but let me just go ahead a little. How do we paskin me'ikar din b'dievet? The psak b'dievet. What's the psak b'dievet? The psak b'dievet is that on day two and on... Why do I keep writing shachar? It's funny. From day two and on, even shachar counts. Because we hold like the chachamim. That's pretty clear. Right? I mean, it's not really so reasonable to paskin like someone other than the Chachamim. You know, you could say they're the same as someone else, but we're not going to pass like Yehuda. There's no reason to do that. What about on day one? We have three options how to paskin. Me'ikra din, b'dievet, right? Before we get into Chumras L'chachila. So, how do we paskin? Here, it's not 100% clear. I know I didn't read it inside yet, but... I'll just go get ahead of myself a little. The Rama, we know. Who does the Rama pass like out of these three shitas? On day one? Exactly. The Rama says, Shachris doesn't work, but a Mincha L'Mala works. Talking about B'dievet, what counts, not what would be better. And how does the Mechaber paskin? So we will read it inside, I promise you. It's not 100% clear. How the Mechaber paskins. The Mechaber, we'll see. We're not sure. Oh, sorry. No. We're sure he doesn't pass like the Rashba. Sorry. With all due respect, we don't pass like the Rashba. The Mechaber, we're not sure whether he paskins like Tosos or whether he paskins like the Rambam. Does he say you need a mochdochuk if you want to do a hefsek the first day? Meaning you can't do a hefsek the first day, but the moch dachuk, that of course is like, you know, a curve, you know, is the nuclear option that for sure takes care of all the shashos. Or does he hold like Tosos that you do minam in cholamala? The Gra holds like the Gra interprets that the Mechaber holds like the Rambam. First he says Harambam, and then when he comes on the Ramah he says, but the Rambam is like the Mechaber. So the Gra says he holds like the Rambam. Okay, all the Achronim disagree. Lamaisa Ravadia assumes that even Sfardim hold like the Tosfos. We'll see, the Lashon is ambiguous. So I don't mean to say it's Ravadia against the Gra, like that's an unfair matchup, although I don't know if we would have bothered him. But it's a machlok zechronim on the page. You have the Gra one way, you don't have anyone the other way on the page, but the Ravadi has plenty of echronim backing him up, so I don't mean to say like it's just him against the Gra. Now we'll read it inside in a moment, but before we read it inside, we need to figure out what the halacha is l'chachila. What would we think if we didn't have the rush? We would think that l'chachila is the same as b'dievet. We paskin how we paskin. Like, why do we need to paskin more than one way? But then the rush came with a curveball. Said the rush, you should do a bedika whenever you do a hefsek tara, whenever, on any day. And keep in mind, it's pretty rare to do a hefsek tara on the first day. But I'll answer your question soon. It's pretty rare to do a hefsek tara on the first day. Who has a period for only one day? Whenever you do a hefsek tara, you should do it bein hashmashos. Okay. What did he mean here by bein hashmashos? What did the rush mean? Says the rush. What did the rush mean? Said the rush. So let's, one second, let's just look at, go look at Chila for a second. How about Lechachila? On day two plus, meaning day two or more, right? You would think you could do it any time. We pass in Shachris, Chachamim, Shalom Yisrael. However, the rush throws a curveball, says the rush, you should do it bein hashmashos. What does it mean, bein hashmashos? What does the rush mean by bein hashmashos? So the preach on the bottom of the Torah says, he means moch dachuk. You should lechachila do a moch dachuk, even on day two. Where he got that from? No, it's not clear, right? Not 100% clear where we've gotten it from. We're going to ignore the preacher for now. And we're going to go with the Beis Yosef. Says the Beis Yosef, he means Samach Lebein HaShmashos, meaning the late afternoon. Where does he get the late afternoon from? Where does he get the late afternoon from? After all, that's not how we paskin. So, there are three explanations where he got late afternoon from. I think there are three main explanations where he got late afternoon from. one second. One explanation is why. One explanation is, which the Beis Yosef gives, is that everyone agrees lechatchila you should do it in the late afternoon. Every town agrees it's better to do it in the late afternoon. They just argue what counts for the Yemen, but even the Chacham, even Rebbe, agrees that it's better. Then lechatchila, there's no machlokas tanaim. Maybe in lechatchila, there's no machlokas tanaim. So, says the Beis Yosef and the Bach, lechatchila, right? Kuli alma modi, the adif samach lebein hashmashos. Lechatchila, all tanaim agree. Even the chacham agree, like it's better. Okay, and what says the gra? That lechatchila yesh lahachmir Lidas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's a big chiddush. You know, even lechatchila are we machmir for tanoim? Meaning, I understand lechatchila people are machmir for achronim. If we don't pass, if the Rishon didn't pass like a tana, do we lechatchila machmir that way? That's a big chiddush in this gra. Like I thought, no. If we don't pass like a tana, we don't pass like the tana. Like even the briskers, who are machmir for all Rishonim that we don't paskin like, you know, are not machmir for Tanarim and Amura we don't paskin like. So I know that was a little strange. He says, the hachmir, the achila, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay.
Don't you have tetis, the dagan,
there's machlokes Rishonim, which Tana we paskin like. Now, avad, if the machlokes Rishonim, which Tana to paskin like, then it makes more sense. But if you can't find Rishonim paskin like a Tana, unless the Gra found Rishonim pass like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a bit strange to me. Like usually, yeah, because that's really being machmir for Rishonim. But okay, the Beis Yosef has a third approach. That's also a big fish. I mean, Beis Yosef's second approach. Maybe lehachmir ketanakama aliba derashi. Maybe we're machmir the Tanakama like Rashi, who says that Shachris doesn't work on days 1 through 6. We almost always do it on days 1 through 6. We rarely do it on day 7. right? Most women don't have Zatara on day 7. So therefore, maybe it's Choshesh like the Tanakama. It's still a little funny why be Choshesh for the Tanakama. I mean, it's just as bad as being Choshesh for Rabbi Yehuda. You know, maybe the Tanakama is a little better than Rabbi Yehuda because it's a Stam, etc. But it's against Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shiva, you know. Okay, you could work it out, like I said. The most accepted shot is like the Beis Yosef's first shot and the Bach. That it's always better l'chachilu to be more machter. And therefore, we add another chumrah as well. Right? This is the mainstream. Okay, one thing. Therefore, they point out that if it's just a svara, it's always better to be more machmir. That even if zunim and cholamala, it's better to do it later in the day. That's the chumrah we'll assume. The later, the better. As long as before Shkia. Right? Because l'chachilu, it's always better to have it close to the end of the day. So if right now it's Benamin Cholamala, I don't know, it's 3 o'clock, it's Benamin Cholamala, but I can do it at 4 o'clock, better to do it at 4 o'clock. Okay. Now, there's one other Rishon. Which other Rishon says something about l'chachilu? The Rashba. Says the Rashba, l'olam yilamid anu sof beso, it's always good to instruct your wife to do a moch dachok. Says the Rashba, it's always good to do a moch dachok. Why is it always good to do a moch dachok? Says the Rashba. Now, think he can't put this into the Tanaim. I think it's very hard to put into the Tanaim to always do a moch dachok. You could squeeze it if you want to, but it doesn't sound like this would come from. He says, you know what? Since we can do a moch dachok, it's not clear to me why in the days of the Gemara it sounds like they didn't do a moch dachok. So, like, what changed in the days of the Gemara and the Rashba? It's a tema to me. Like, what changed in the days of the Gemara and the Rashba than the days of the Gemara? It doesn't sound like people did a moch dachok. And in the days of the Rashba, he said, it's a good idea to do a moch dachok. But Lamaise said, it's a good idea. He says, you know what? The best thing is always a moch dachok. So you might as well do a moch dachok. So it ends up, says the Rashba, moch dachok is, he doesn't say you have to, right? He doesn't say you have to do a moch dachok. But he says a moch dachok is the best. Or let's say better, moch dachok is proper. Proper is not the same as l'chachila. L'chachila means you're obligated. Proper means like it's a good thing to do. You know, it's more mahudr that way. But olim lamed himself beso, more mahudr. Okay, how do we, that's l'chachila day 2 plus. How do we, I'll just, before we read it inside, how do we paskin? Okay, I will tell you how we paskin. I'll cheat, and then we'll read it inside. We paskin, moch dachok is proper, and samach ben ashmashos is a chiyuv l'chachila. Right, chiyuv l'chachila versus proper. Right, again, what's the difference between chiyuv l'chachila? Chiyuv l'chachila is also when you have to do it. Moch dachok tells one this is the proper thing to do. But if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. Right? Okay, so if someone is a big bas Torah near a Shemayim, so she's going to do everything the most proper way. The other difference is, like, what if it's inconvenient? Right? Anyway, that's how we paskin, l'chachilo, samach ben ashmashos, b'dieved even shachris, and proper moch dachok. How do we paskin on the first day? How do we paskin on the first day? So, l'chachilu on the first day, we for sure pass like the Rama moch dachok. That is a proper practice, l'chachilu. Because after all, that's a real shita. And it's a real shita of the Rambam. And it's not only the Rambam. You know, the real shita of Rishonim. That l'chachilu in moch dachok on the first day, how do we paskin b'dieved on the first day? So b'dieved is a big machlokes ad ha-yom hazeh, how we paskin b'dieved on the first day. Some people want to say, like the Grav, Pshat, and the Mechaber, b'dieved, you also need b'yash mashos. We assume, like the Ramah, that we paskin b'dieved, you need minim and cholamala. So we see that for us, the first day and the second day, everything just goes up a step. On the second day and on, moch dachok is proper. Min HaMincha L'mala is L'chachila, and B'diavet, anytime. Yes, which means at least Min HaMincha L'mala. Min HaMincha L'mala, or the later the better, is L'chachila. And Shachar is B'diavet. On the first day, Mochdochuk is a chiyuv L'chachila. Min HaMincha L'mala is Ma'akid B'diavet. And Shachar is just a no-go. Is nothing, is worthless. Okay, let's read that inside, and then we'll flesh out some more details. Says the Mechaber, Shivas Yom Shazom, so first, Maskilim, Machaz Yom Shapaskabo, the Kach Mishpata, in Tirish, the Yomim, Oshlosha, and Paska, me liberals, if it's 2 or 3 days or more, obviously. Bodek has Yom Shapaska, Kadisha, Tipsok, Batara. Okay, she has to do a Hefzik Tara. Again, the Hefzik Tara must be before Shiv Nikim start. Ubedika Zochi is Samach Lebein Hashmashos, and this Bedika should be Samach Lebein Hashmashos. What does Samach Lebein Hashmashos mean? He gets that from the Rush. It means that Min HaMincha L'mala, but as close to dark as you can get.
Is Mincha Gedola or Mincha
Ketana? Mincha Ketana. The Rush says Mincha Gedola, we assume Mincha Ketana. Yeah, we would not rely on Mincha Gedola. most Rishonim, I think, if I count it properly, say Mincha Ketana. And as the Ramah v'chinogin l'chachilo u'b'dievet afilu bodka atzmo rech shachris u'matza atzmo tohora sagi b'kach. That's the minig l'chachila. But b'dievet, even shachris is good enough. Not only is shachris good enough, by the way, all the Mamdi Poskim point out that the Lashon is lav davka. Even nighttime is good enough b'dievet. What is she to b'dika at 9 o'clock p.m.? B'dievet, that would be good enough. If she didn't do the next afternoon, that, when can this be l'maisa? Why would anyone do b'dika at 9 o'clock p.m., right? It's not a normal thing to mean. Ain't the bar kazeh b'dika's at night. I mean, except if your vessel's at night. But, you know, in the Tara process, there is no b'dika's at night. We assume, our general psak in Kol HaTorah Kula is that any sphira is only during the daytime. But what could happen? Let's say a woman got very confused and she calls the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I did a bedika. I did my hefsek tara, but it was too late. It was already dark outside. The rabbi says, sorry. I did it Sunday night, but it was already dark outside. The rabbi says, sorry, it doesn't count. You can't start your shiva nekiyum. The bedika has to be when it's light outside. Sorry, it doesn't count. Then she calls the rabbi again Monday night and says, I did my bedika again tonight, and it was already dark outside. I'm so absent-minded and forgetful. The rabbi will tell her, assuming, obviously, it wasn't the first day. The rabbi will tell her, that doesn't count. However, the Sunday night bedika can count b'dieved for Monday afternoon. Right? And therefore, and this actually does happen. Like, I actually have had cases where 2 nights in a row, the woman missed Shkia and did her bedika too late. So she can be saved. Because a Sunday night bedika that's too late is as good as Monday morning. And Monday morning is good bidyevid. Bidyevid meaning, if she called me on Monday afternoon and says, can I rely on this morning's bedika? Can I rely on last night's bedika? I would say no. Lechachili, you have to do one. Min HaMincha L'mala, as the closer to Shkia, the better. But bidyevid, it would be good enough. Therefore, says very well, just very logically. He says, if a woman thinks her period's over, it's always a good idea to do a... Let's say she gets up in the morning, day 5, right? We'll see Ashkenazim never do a hefsek before day 5 of the period. So a lot of women's period only lasts 4 days. But nonetheless, the minhag Ashkenaz is that, you know, or maybe it lasted 4.5 days. But by the time she woke up on the morning, she felt her period was over. So therefore, it's always a good idea on the 5th day, or the 6th day, or the 7th day, whatever, to do bedika. Though, if the woman thinks she's, not to drive herself crazy, but if she thinks she's clean, do a hefsek tara in the morning. Why? Not so she'll be popular in the afternoon. L'chat chila, she's chayim in the afternoon. It's a chiv gamer l'chat chila to do a bedika in the late afternoon. But in case she forgets in the afternoon, then she can rely on the morning one bedieved, and who says she's going to forget in the afternoon? Not everyone's so forgetful. Well, that depends what month it is. So if it's July and she says, I'll for sure remember in the late afternoon, I'd say there. But the problem is a lot of the year is September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, you know, where she's still at home from work by Shkia. And she might be very busy. And it could be very easy to forget in the afternoon. And Therefore, if she forgets in the afternoon, she should have chakras to rely on. It's a good eitzah tova. If you're clean, do a hefsek chakras. Not to be lazy in the afternoon, because we are lechachila Jews. We do whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch lechachila. But in case you forget, and not in case you forget, sometimes, even if she remembers, maybe she'll be on the subway, maybe she'll be in the middle of a business meeting and she can't go out, maybe she'll be stuck someplace. And what happens? You know, people are in, she'll get very, very sweaty. What will happen? Either she'll forget in the afternoon, she'll be busy in the afternoon, or what happens is she gets so stressed in the afternoon, she's at work and she's in the middle of the meeting and this and that, and she's looking at her clock and it's ticking down to Shkia, and she gets so stressed and she runs out at the last second and is in such a rush and is so fatumult, that what happens when someone's so stressed? What happens when someone's so stressed is that they get all their stress instincts and their body constricts and gets tight and everything. And then when they try to do a bedika, a hefsek tara, if you're not relaxed and you try to do a hefsek tara, then it doesn't go very well. And what ends up happening? So they're not relaxed. They try to do a hefsek tara when they're all stressed and fatumult. And they're not properly relaxed. And therefore they end up forcing too much and scratching themselves. And then they find blood on it because they made a maka. They made a scratch. Obviously, some people's skin is more sensitive, some less. But this is like a total common thing that can happen. And therefore, says Rabbi Willard, the best thing is do one chakras to rely on b'di'evet, and then do one in the afternoon. But if you can't, then you're okay, and you don't have to be overly stressed, then you don't have to worry about forgetting it.
In that case, is that
considered shasadcha k'di'evet dami? Shasadcha k'di'evet dami. You know, obviously, everyone using their judgment. And we all know, I'll lay out the secret. We all know that exactly what's a shasad chak and what isn't depends not only on the objective circumstances, but on people's perspective and how they look at the world and their priorities. But nonetheless, you know, if someone can't, they can.
But in that situation, would advise her not even to leave the meeting?
Yeah, I mean, he'd advise her to use her judgment. Right. If leaving the meeting is going to cause you to have problems, then you shouldn't. If you can do it calmly, then you should, and you should. Sometimes you can't leave the meeting no matter what. You know, life is complicated. So therefore, it's an eitzah tova to do one in chakras and in the if you're clean and in the afternoon. And that way, if you miss the afternoon, you're okay.
Do we give any wiggle room to what's called
shkiyah? Give me a second. Let me try to give you a little one thing at a time. Let's continue in the mechaber. Ula olam yilamid adam esoch beiso shetei bodekes biyom hefzik tarasa b'moch dochot shehei sham kol ben hashmashos shezu b'dika motzi amidei kol safeg. And therefore, what is l'olam yilamid adam? L'olam yilamid adam l'hachmir l'chachila. What is l'olam yilamid adam l'hachmir l'chachila? It's not a chi of gomer. If a woman says, you know what? I am not a mahadr. I never want to do a moch dochuk from the second day and on. Then she can never do a moch dochuk from the second day and on. Say to her, it's not even a chi of l'chachila. It's a limud l'hachmir l'chachila. It's a proper practice l'chachila. We should teach people to do the most proper practices. But, you know, it's not a chiv gomer l'chachiv. The Aruch HaShulchan actually says that the reason why the Mechaber said the olam yilamid adam soch beso is that every husband has to tell his wife, even in the old days, the women were not educated and didn't understand how things worked so well, tell his wife that it's not a chiv gomer, it's only a proper practice, so that she would not, you know, think that it was more necessary than it is. But obviously, the standard teaching in Kabbalah class is that everyone should do a hefsek tara. However, what's the nafkamina, the main nafkamina, the fact that it's a proper practice and not a chiyuv gomer l'chatchila, is that not for a woman who says, well, I don't want to be so mahadr. Okay, most women are very holy and they want to do things the best way. Is that in a case of difficulty, then you don't have to feel guilty being makel. And you don't have to judge, like, does it have to be a big difficulty, etc. In the case of difficulty, you can be makel. And therefore, okay, my masorah for my willing is to be very makel in hefsek taras in cases of, in moch dochuks, in cases of difficulty. So some women, they have no problem with the moch dochuk. Okay, either it'll be great, and worst that'll happen is they take it out and they'll find some dam on it and they'll see their period wasn't really over and that's the whole idea. And then they'll wait another day for the hefsek tara. Okay, wonderful. But some women have a lot of difficulty with the moch dochuk, Because, depending on how sensitive you are, to leave something inside can be an irritant, which A, can cause tsar, and we don't want anyone to have unnecessary tsar, and B, it can cause a scratch. And that is the worst thing that'll happen, is it'll cause a scratch, and it'll be blood, and they'll have to worry about being tola and this and that. Much better to not check in the first place. Meaning, better to check and find damnida than to not check. Oh, we're Yerei Shemayim. If there's damnida, we're going to find it. But better to not check than to have sveikos of damaka and get into unnecessary chumras or unnecessary kulas or difficult shailas. And therefore, if it's hard for a woman to do a moch dachuk, assuming it's day two and on, which is the normal case, if it's hard for a woman to do a moch dachuk, then she doesn't have to do a moch dachuk. And every woman is different. Some women, it's just very, very hard for them to do a moch dachuk. Okay, so they don't have to do a moch dachuk, then they don't have to do the proper practice if it's hard. That's only for people who it's not hard for. Sometimes women have times of sensitivity, like after childbirth, etc., depending on exactly what was involved in the childbirth, different situations. Okay, if an infection, etc., if it's hard for a woman to do a moch dachuk, then she doesn't have to, because it's not even a lechachiv gomer lechachila. It's only a proper practice. Even though we'll see there's some study we can make it into a chiv lechachila, but even so, it's pasha is only a proper practice, and therefore we can be very flexible about moch dachuk if it is hard for someone. The other thing, once we're talking about moch dachuks and how they might be difficult, is how long do you have to leave the moch dachuk in? How long has been a shvashos? So we know everyone has different ideas about this, right? He asked the Brisker Rav how long been a shvashos is, and it's at least 2 hours. So how long has been a shvashos? I'm not going to go through the sugya of a shvashos now. Hopefully we've gone through that once in our life, and if not, this should be a priority. But it's very controversial how long Bina Shmashas is. Everyone nowadays agrees when it starts, pretty much, when the sun sets. But when does it end? So there are many different opinions about this, many different opinions about Moch Dachuk. Many people are machmer with the Moch Dachuk, that you have to leave the Moch Dachuk in for the same Bina Shmashas as on Matzei Shabbos. Right? If your calendar says Shabbos ends, that's when you take out the Moch Dachuk. Because that's when Bina Shmashos is over. Logical thought. And if someone's very comfortable with that, then wonderful. If it doesn't bother her, then it doesn't bother us if she leaves the Moch Dachuk again as long as she wants. And eventually it'll start bothering her. But if she leaves it in for 35 minutes or 42 minutes or 50 minutes or whenever the calendar says Shabbos ends, and she's comfortable with that, wonderful. But I don't think you're chayiv to be so machmir. You're not chayiv to be so machmir, because after all, keep in mind that besides the fact that this is only because of Chumrat Derabizera, right, that you need to start your Shiv Nekiyim, and Chumrat Derabizera is not the Oraisa. But even if you were a Zavah the Oraisa, let's say she talked to things and she wasn't Zavah the Oraisa. But the Moch Dachuk is only a proper practice. Right, the Moch Dachuk is certainly not the Oraisa. It's not even Derabbanan Li'ikuva. It's not even a Chiyam L'chafila Derabbanan. It's only proper practice. So on a proper practice Derabbanan, do we have to be so machmer and such a long bit of shmashos? Simple pshat is certainly not. Therefore, L'maisa, every rabbi will give you a different psak on this, because bina shmashos is very flexible. The minhag in the Beis Medrash back in Manhattan, and the Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh of our yeshiva, is the same thing, is that we say Kriya Shema every night at the Tseis of the Balatanya, which is when the sun is almost 6 degrees below the horizon, which is around 25 minutes after Shkia. So if we rely on that for Kriya Shema, which is a D'oraisa, I don't give a reading of Thomas for now. Yeah, possibly say D'oraisa to say Kriya Shema after Tseis. We can certainly rely on that for a proper practice of a moch dachuk, and therefore la'nias daiti, you should teach the kalos, put in the moch dachuk for, I don't remember in America how long it was, but maybe it was a little more, 25 minutes, maybe in New York it's 30 minutes, it's somehow the angle is different. I don't totally understand all the trigonometry here. But 25 minutes, that's plenty. That's plenty tzeis for a moch dachuk. That's a really good, you know, I would be comfortable saying Kriya Shema then. I would be comfortable eating, you know, after Shavas Batanos then. You know, it's not Matzei Shabbos. We're not talking about, Ikare Hayados. We're talking about, and if you make Kari Samisa's Besdin. We're talking about proper practices. Chumras L'chachila. Therefore, I would say to everyone, how long should you keep it? 25 minutes around. And if someone says, well, 25 minutes starts to irritate me, then I would say 13 and a half minutes. That's the Bein HaShemashas of the Gra. And the most achronim assume, or Moshe has a total different chesh we're not getting into yet, that me'ikar din we might hold like the Gra. Okay, and certainly for Drabbanan, we can someone come the Gra. Okay, I would say do it for 25 minutes, or if you have a calendar, you know, whenever Rav Schechter says it's late enough to Daven Maariv, and Rav Miller says late enough to Daven Maariv here, same time. Not the same time, the same angle. Obviously, the geography is different. Same shita. which is, it's basically 24 minutes. Lefi ha, how do you say it in Hebrew, according to the declination of the sun. Right, 24 minutes in the equinox in Eretz Yisrael, translated to your time and place, is the shita of the Baal HaTanya, which is the minhag yeshiva for Maariv. So I'd say 25 minutes, and if that's hard, 13 and a half minutes. And if that's hard, don't do it at all. That's the psak for how long. But it's really, I know there are people who are very machmir to keep the mochdoch in for a long bit of shmashos. If it makes the woman happy, great. Like if she says, I didn't even notice how long I put it in. You know, I have to set an alarm to take it out because I don't feel it. Then, you know, no downside. But sometimes it causes tsar to the women, so that's crazy. To have super duper chumras here and cause tsar is totally unnecessary. Okay, that is a part of the picture. Now, let's look at the other side of the picture. I think Elchanan asked me. what if you miss Shkia? What if she misses Shkia? In the, right, this is a question of how late does she have to do it, right? Can she do it in the morning? Does she have to do it in the afternoon? Late afternoon, as close to Shkia as possible. Does she have to do a moch dachuk? By the way, Agav, let me just point out, the moch dachuk is done after a regular hefsek tara. Why is the moch dachuk done after a regular hefsek tara? Because the normal way most women do the moch dachuk is, here's a little tricky, we don't really do a real moch dachuk. It's unclear. I'm not sure like how this minhag started. When the Rishonim discuss moch dachuk, they say you put in a lot of cloth, and therefore it expands to fill all the cracks and crevices, and it really checks well. That's dachuk, right? We do the way we do moch dachuk is the same bedikah cloth, just one little bedikah cloth. That's how we do our moch dachuk. It doesn't really enter all the cracks and crevices. Since the moch dachuk doesn't really enter all the cracks and crevices, therefore what they teach all the girls in the kala classes: first do your hefsek tara. After you have the tara, then do a moch dachuk. And that's necessary because you can't rely on the moch dachuk alone if you don't check all the cracks and crevices. And therefore, the minhag olam is that first they do a hefsek tara, and then, you know, before shkia, and they see it's clean, and then they put in a moch dachuk. If someone wanted to, put in the cloth, check all the cracks and crevices, and then leave it in. We could kill two birds with one stone, but that's not the normal way. The normal way is, also, you know, you're curious, you want to see right away, so you do a hefsek tara, and then do the moch dachuk. That's the normal minhag olam, and it's necessary because, it's necessary if you're not putting the moch dachuk in all the cracks and crevices, then it's necessary to do a hefsek tara besides the moch dachuk, because the moch dachuk is questionable. If it's questionable, why do we do it? It's only proper practice anyway, so to say it. So that proves that even the minhag of the whole olam is that the moch dachuk is not so necessary because they don't put in all the cracks and crevices. What if you mishkia? What if you're trying to do a hefsek tara and you mishkia? This is maisim bechol yom, the most common shaila ever. I forgot, or I was delayed, or this or that, and I did my hefsek tara too late. So first eitz hatova is Do you think your prayer is over in the morning? Next time, do a Hefsek Tara in the morning and the afternoon. And that way, if you miss the afternoon one, you can rely on the evidence on the morning one. Okay, but maybe her period wasn't over in the morning, or maybe she didn't. Whatever, who knows?
Maybe she left for work when it was still dark outside and was busy all day. So she didn't have a morning free either. Usually people have free time in the morning, but not always.
Maybe she lives in London when, you know, it's not dawn till 9 a.m.
Given that we normally wait 5 days, if she thought that, like, on day 4 it stopped and checked, would we be able to rely on that?
Would we be able to rely on... So, you can even lechatchila do a hefsek on day 4 if you want.
Even though we...
You just can't start counting Shvedikim for another day. So, I wouldn't tell... Meaning, I wouldn't... Halachically, it's totally okay to do a hefsek tar on day 4, do nothing on day 5, and start counting Shvedikim from day 6. It's not a requirement that the hefsek tar be right before Shvedikim. However, that's too confusing, so I would never tell this to regular people because it's too confusing. But yeah. There's actually nothing wrong with doing a Hefsek Tara on the afternoon of day 4. The reason we wait it will make perfect sense to you when we get up to it.
Maybe it's just that exact same response, but like the afternoon, why do we ever wait till afternoon if we're in the morning? So if you're not going to be doing bedikas on day 5 in that scenario that Yosef was just saying, so like, isn't this just doing it like well before the morning?
No, because the chazak do it by day means day 4 is a day of Toma. Therefore, you want to do it in the afternoon so you don't have like the chesed of Toma continuing. But once you do it in the afternoon, day 4, day 5 is mochzak betara. And therefore, it's not a problem. And if you ask day 5 is mochzak betara, why don't we count the church of Nikiam? For reasons having nothing to do with blood.
No, that much I got. I didn't
pop that. Right, basically, you can be mochzak day 5 and tara, totally. The reason that a shiv Nikiam has nothing to do with Toma betara of blood. It has to do with shiv Zera, as we know. Okay.
But wouldn't that negate any hefsek, any bedika?
No. Basically, the reason why we wouldn't count day 5 for Shiva Nikim is not because of any chash of bleeding or Tumas Nida. It's because of a totally different chash of Poletz Shiva Zera, which is a technical problem, which has nothing to do with her Tumah Vatara of Nida. It has nothing to do with whether or not she's bleeding.
Represent that it's going to mask the blood?
No, that's not the problem at all. The problem is that technically, Alpidini Tumah Vatara, a day of Tumas Keri cannot count to be malu you from Tumas Nida. But it's not at all. That's not true at all. Okay, Viker. Now, what if you're after Shkia? This is a tremendous machlokes. The simple shot, what did Beis Yosef say? Beis Yosef said, the Rosh said, check in Bein HaShmashos. It says Beis Yosef, he meant before Shkia. Of course you can't check in Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos is too late for Hefsek Tara. It's a mafurish Beis Yosef here that Bein HaShmashos is too late for a Hefsek Tara. Not only that, look in the Mechaber here. Bedika zot yes samach lebein hashmashos. Has to be before bein hashmashos, not during bein hashmashos. So the simple pshat is that during bein hashmashos is too late. Why? Because we consider this to be safek lechumra, especially since you use bechezgas toma, so that, and because it's based on the daraisa, we say safek lechumra. So the what about a hefsek tara? Bivein hashmashos, meaning after shkia, is possible. It doesn't work. That is the mainstream shach. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big chiddush. Now, to properly understand this chiddush, it's based on a whole way of looking at things that you could question a lot. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a famous chiddush, which in America, many people rely on in the yeshivish belt in America. For the very good reason that Rav Moshe Feinstein was the good old lord of America. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein is a famous chiddush, which he really, really, really held from. Right? What's his famous chiddush? That 9 minutes after sunset is still Vadayom. 9 minutes after sunset is Vadayom. That's Rav Moshe's famous chiddush. Why? Based on... Okay, I'm not going to properly explain it because that would just take too much time. But based on a sfeika, right? I'll assume that we know something of the sugya of Bein HaShmashos. There's a famous machlokes between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam about when Bein HaShmashos is. Now, it's a little silly to call a machlokes between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra was not normally in the business of taking on Rabbeinu Tam's stam. But the Gra was following the source of the Gaonim and the Rambam. Just for some reason became called the Gra. So the Gra in Rabbeinu Tam, the, you know, we could have called it the Gaonim in Rabbeinu Tam, or the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov. But okay, it's called the Gra in Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra holds that when the Gemara says, Bena Shmashos, last three quarters of a mil. We assume that's 13 and a half minutes. Gra says when the sun sets, like literally when the sun sets, that is when Bena Shmashos starts. 13 and a half minutes later, Bena Shmashos ends, and it's nighttime. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. 58 and a half minutes after the sun sets. That's when Bena Shmashos, that's when it really sets. It really sets 58 and a half minutes after it leaves our field of vision. Why? Okay, for reasons that needn't concern us now, that have to do with going through the sky and getting ready to go back on top at night, and we'd have to figure out how to translate that into the terms we're more familiar with. But says Rabbeinu Tam, 58 and a half minutes after the sun disappears from our view is sunset, and then starts Bena Shmashos. And then 13 and a half minutes after that is Vaday Laila, that's 72 minutes, hence Motzei Shabbos to Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein as follows. And the next question, when do all the stars come out? When do three stars come out? The Gruss says, sun sets, 13 and a half minutes of Bena Shmashos, and the three stars come out. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the sun disappears from us. 58 and a half minutes later it sets. And there's Bena Shmashos, and then 13 and a half minutes after that, which is 72 minutes after what we call sunset, three stars come out. The says Rav Moshe Feinstein, very pasha. During the first 13 and a half minutes, it's actually Vadayom, because of a Sveik Sveika. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Vadayom for another 58 and a half minutes. Right? If I, you know what? I'll just, this will be, it's so simple if I put it on the board. Here is what we call sunset. In our usage of the word, right, is zero, times zero. Here is times 72 minutes. Here is 13 and a half, and here is 58 and a half. According to the Gra, here is the Gra, you have Yom, Bein Hashmashos, and Laila. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you have Yom is until here, Bein Hashmashos is from 58 and a half till 72 minutes, and Laila is after 72 minutes. Okay, now it's very pashut. If you're in the first 13 and a half minutes, it's Yom through a Sveik Sveika. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's daytime, and even according to the Gra, it's Bein Hashmashos, which is Suffolk day, Suffolk night. So therefore, Sveik Sveika, it's still daytime, and Rav Moshe Mamish held this way. Except that he said 9 minutes. How do you get from 13 and a half minutes to 9 minutes? Very simple. I mean, very simple if you don't start to ask kashas. He says, the Gra had a famous kasha against Rabbeinu Tam, which is, it doesn't take 72 minutes for three stars to come out. Give me a break. So Rav Moshe says he looked around in New York and saw that all the stars came out at 50 minutes. So he said, it must be that New York is a different latitude or longitude. Latitude. What?
You
look
this
way? Yeah.
Wait,
this
latitude.
Latitude, that's what I thought. He says, if you look at 50 minutes, all the stars are out. So that's why the Minig in America is actually the same as Minig in Yerushalayim also. Tokachinsky for Motzei Shabbos is that Motzei Shabbos is always around 50 minutes, up to 50 minutes. So he says that it must be that New York is a different latitude than Yerushalayim, than Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, what was 72 minutes for them is 50 minutes for us in New York. And now, it's a bit of a problem, because it actually takes longer for the stars to come out of New York than Yerushalayim, not shorter. But, no one asked Akasha Rav Moshe, so I'm not sure what he would answer. So says Rav Moshe, really, the 72 minutes is 50 minutes for us nowadays. And therefore, you have to like divide everything by that fraction, and 13 and a half minutes becomes 9. Right, 13 and a half times 50 over 70 is 9. Over 72 is 9. So he says, for us, just compress it a little into 50 minutes. And from 0 to 9 is Bena Shmashos of the Gra. From 9 to 41 is, you know, is not Bena Shmashos. And 41 to 50 is Bena Shmashos of Rabbeinu Tam. So that was Rabbeinu Moshe. I know he has a gazillion kashas against his Rabbeinu Moshe. That's not the time now. Rav Moshe's famous sheet, the bottom line, Rav Moshe says there's 9 minutes of Yom after what we call sunset. Halacha l'maisa in the Yeshivish Welt in America, people say, well, if you're running late, no one says like a lechachil ideal. If you're running late, you could have mincha for another 9 minutes after Shkia. I'm not talking about Hasidim here, who are Rabbi Tomniks. The Yeshivish Welt in America, people say, and I'm not talking about why you. The real Yeshivish Welt in America says, if you're running late and say, you have 9 minutes after Shkia, you could still daven. In the YU Welt, the Sorf and the Rav and all his Talmidim, is that nope, if it's after Shkia, just on Marv twice and you touch the lid. Rav Moshe says, if the baby's born Sunday, 8 minutes after Shkia, his bris is next Sunday. I don't know if anyone has the guts to actually do that, Lamaisa. In any belt, no one has the guts to rely on that Lamaisa. Like, maybe the kid's not Yotzei's bris, you know? But Rav Moshe, mamish held, and there are some Talmidim of Rav Moshe who say, although Rav Moshe did not say this, and it's not Makom Lishiva Shevel, but I know some minority Talmidim of Rav Moshe says, if you're really stuck, you can drive 9 minutes after Shkia on Friday. But Rav Moshe, mamish held this. And if you're talking about Hefsek Tara, so Rav Moshe says, if you're stuck, if you forget, if you're late, you have 9 minutes to do a Hefsek Tara and you're okay. In many parts of the Yeshivish Welt in America, they rely on Rav Moshe and are machshir a Hefsek Tara 9 minutes after Shkia. There are many people who are machshir this. Rav Forst brings down a debate between he spoke to Rav Moshe's kids and Talmidim. Did Rav Moshe mean this in general or only in a big Shas Hadchak? Okay, there are different Masoras. How much Rav Moshe was willing to rely on this? Like, how stuck do you have to be? But Lamaisa, the famous sheet of Rav Moshe that you have 9 minutes a day for Kola Torah Kula after Shkia. Again, even Rav Moshe Talmidim don't rely on that to drive on Friday, except for a very few of them. Even the Yeshivish Belt and the Talmidim of Rav Moshe don't rely on that for Bris Mila, just to get the wrong day of the Bris, to have a chashash. But for other things, it's Makubal in the non-YU Yeshivish Belt in America, that you have 9 minutes of daylight after Shkia. In YU, that is not our Masorah at all. The Masorah from the Rav is, and I think, I haven't asked everyone, I asked for Shechter, I will, etc. I think they'd all tell you the same thing, that if it's 1 minute after Shkia, if it's 1 second after Shkia, and you haven't daven mincha yet, then don't daven mincha and do a bracha latala after Shkia, but wait till later and daven mariv twice for tashlumin. That's the Masorah of our yeshiva. And likewise, the strong Masorah is that a hefsek tara after Shkia is pasul. That we do not, our minhag is not to rely on this Rav Moshe. Again, it's good to know about this Rav Moshe, because a lot of people do rely on it. And maybe after, in some circumstances, you know, kedai to rely on. You know, I'm not saying, like, if it's a college, she's going to miss her wedding, you know, whatever, you know, or, you know, they're going to get divorced because they have a big fight about it. I'm not talking about that. Man, I'm talking about Stam. Everyone would like to go to the mikvah earlier rather than later. It's always more enjoyable to go to the mikvah a day earlier. And the woman says, I was 5 minutes after Shkia. So I know there's some people in America who would be Mako. But our Masorah is not that way. Our Masorah is not like Rav Moshe. There's many kashas against Rav Moshe I'm not going to point out now. And our Masorah is that Me'ikra Din we hold like the Gra. And since Me'ikra Din we hold like the Gra, it's not a Sfeik Sfeika. Me'ikra Din we hold like the Gra. We don't keep Rabbeinu Tam Mariv. There might be many people here who don't do Malacha for 72 minutes once a Shabbos. But I think all the people in this room who don't do Malacha for 72 minutes once a Shabbos don't think that that's a real Sfeik of the Dina. Chomer b'yalma for extra covered Shabbos and Melo Tosef Shabbos and Mitzvah anyway, and more Kedusha is always good anyway, and so you might as well be Machmir. But we're not really Mesopagir Rabbeinu Tam. Now, Rav Moshe thinks everyone's Machmir for Rabbeinu Tam because Rabbeinu Tam is really 50 minutes in New York. There's too many mathematical parables to that. Lemaisa, we assume Ikra didn't like the Gra, and therefore once the sun sets, it is a Suffolk, not a Sveik Sveika, and the Suffolk you can't do a Hefsek Tara. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, a hefsek tara after shkia is pasul. Minhag Eretz Yisrael, where the gra always has more weight, kayadua, right? Where Shlomo Zalman says, right? We all know, I'm not saying chassidim here, but Shlomo Zalman paskind that, I'm not saying we're looking to agree with this, but Shlomo Zalman paskins, it's usher to wait until Rabbeinu Tam to light Chanukah candles on Motzei Shabbos. Because avada we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. You want to be cute, that's fine, but not in Hanukkah candles. He says, I have no objection to people, you know, spending more time singing Zmiros and hearing drushes and shel shittes. But Minig Eretz Yisrael is bevadai like the Grom, bevadai not like Remain of Tom. Minig Eretz Yisrael is that, after Shkia, I don't think almost anyone in Eretz Yisrael is Mekel after Shkia. You'll find someone. It's the mainstream Minig Eretz Yisrael not to be Mekel after Shkia, and the Minig Yeshiva, even in America, is not to be Mekel after Shkia. So Lamaisa, as a general rule, we're not Mekel with a Hepsik Tara after Shkia. Or with Mincha.
I thought somewhere, like even the Shavnar for the Mishnah Berurah, someone says, when it comes to Mincha, that you could push it a little bit later. Maybe until they're making that up.
I'm not sure. There is a whole discussion of starting versus ending, which I'm not getting into. But in any case, Lamaisa, the Rav was very, very clear in that. For Mincha, he had other reasons also to be Machmer, more than this. Yeah, he had like a famous Renyon and Brachos, which the Shagas Aryeh dealt with, but not for now.
Also, anyway, it's Sathik, right? They didn't come to Sathik. So why can't we be Mako the Sathik Yerubana?
Why can't we make the Sathik Yerubana is a good question. Why can we make a Safik Rabbanan is a good question. I think the answer is because we don't assume Safik Rabbanan on Shiva Nikim nowadays, because our minhag is bichoshish for Zavan to apply the regular rules of Zavan. Not to mention that she's becheskas Toma, so that makes it harder to be make only Safik.
So the first, both the first time?
Because it's a Shiva Nikim is Doraisa if you are a Zava.
You would treat it like.
Yes. And number two, because becheskas Toma, although I know that's very complex.
Even according to your motion, specifically in New York, but if you change the latitude or you change the time of year, wouldn't that, you'd have to calculate accordingly, even to be mango according to your motion?
It's unclear. That's a good, yes, but nonetheless, that's not how people implement their motion. Yesh la'ayim. Yesh la'ayim. The problem is that I have too many other kashas on this Rav Moshe to try and answer. I can't answer anything because everything ties into all the other kashas.
And where does it fit in? You mentioned 35 minutes or something? About time?
25 minutes.
25 minutes. Well, that's just another shita?
That shita is based on a twist on the Gra. He holds like the Gra, and he adds a twist that gets it to 24 minutes. I mean, this is before Shulchan Aruch Rav. He said the Gra says 3/4 mil, which is 13 and a half minutes. But some people say the mill is bigger, so it might really be 18 minutes. And there's like a herif ayin here and there, which maybe is another 6 minutes, and he gets to 24, and then people apply it through the latitude and the season, and you get to this declination of 5.95 degrees below the horizon. And I remember when I was in Wayu Kolo, that was the Zman Marif, according to the Pesach of Shechter, and I remember when I was in the Grus Kolo, that was the Zman Marif, according to Ari Miller. But he gets it from the Gra. He basically holds, and that's also the minig, even the minig Eretz Yisrael, which is much longer, of Tukhachinsky, he sort of squeezes and twists the Gra to get it to be a little longer and get it to be our Eish Shabbos. That's where Shlomo Zalman says, our minig is bevadai like the Gra. Oh, we end Shabbos much more than 13 and a half minutes. We fool around with the Gra and get him, and you know, we put him on a Procrustean bed and stretch him a little, and we get to where we get.
What do we hold for Shabbos? What do we do for Shabbos?
The minhag in America and Israel is when the sun is declined 8.5 degrees below the horizon, which in New York is 40 something to 50 minutes, so it fits for Moshe. The main machlokas, and this is where we're gonna end. I'm not talking about Chassidim. Everyone agrees when we start Shabbos and when we end Shabbos. Shabbos starts maximum at sunset. Shabbos ends when the sun is 8.5 degrees below the horizon, which is 30 to 40 minutes in Eretz Yisrael and 40 to 50 minutes in New York. The machlokas is that, right, everyone comes to Stone for a visit. Did we put the Gra on the bed and stretch him? Or did we put Rabbeinu Tam on the bed and chop off a little of the edges? So Rav Moshe assumes we all hold like Rabbeinu Tam. We just, his 72 minutes becomes 50. And we don't actually cut, we just smush. And Rav Tukhachinsky and Rav Shlomo Zalman assume we hold like the Gra. And his 13 and a half minutes became a little more. So that's Eidach Perush is a little more. L'kulei Alma, the minhag ha'olam of all calendars, printed in all countries that I'm familiar with, which are two, is when the sun is declined 8.5 degrees below the horizon. The machlokas is that a shortened version of Rabbeinu Tam or an elongated version of the Gra? That's the machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and pretty much everyone else. Okay, idach pirush is more obviously according to everyone else that our sheet is an elongated version of the Gra. So then no sfeik sfeika. We don't like Rabbeinu Tam. Only Rav Moshe can throw a sfeik sfeika because he thinks that we're choshish for Rabbeinu Tam. And at 50 minutes, being choshish for Rabbeinu Tam. There are even some Talmidim or Moshe still who always wait 50 minutes for Matzei Shabbos. Because Rav Moshe said 50. Even though he actually said maximum 50, which matches Rav Tokashinsky's sheet on the calendar of 8.5 degrees, which happens to be maximum 50, which is an amazing thing, that it worked out to be exactly the same. Happens to be Rav Tokashinsky's sheet of 8.5 degrees declination is maximum 50 minutes in New York. It's like between 42 and 50 minutes in New York. Work out the math. Okay, so maybe that means something in a Shemayim, I don't know. Lemaisa, tremendous, but it's a tremendous machlokes, and that's why the Talmidim Rav Moshe Agav, they all wait 50 minutes or 40 something to 50 minutes till they say Krishma at night. So they say, we paskin me'ikar din, suffix like Rabbeinu Tam, so we can't say Krishma until 50 minutes after sunset. I remember when I was 17, you know, I asked my local rabbi, who's a Talmud, who's a Mishamish Rav Moshe in his old age, how long should I wait to repeat Kriya Shema? Well, the minyan was the minyan. There was only one minyan in town. And he said, you should wait 50 minutes to repeat Kriya Shema Masorah for Rav Moshe. So I didn't see that in Rav Moshe about Kriya Shema, but then when I got older and learned it, I understood. Avada, according to Rav Moshe, we hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is 50 minutes. So if we hold that way, we have to wait for all Doraisas at least. And maybe all Darabanans also. According to everyone else, the more we hold like the Gra. We just stretch the Gra on Matzei Shabbos to have like a little Chumrah de Shabbos Tosefis. Okay, so we stretch on Matzei Shabbos for Tosefis Chumrah de Shabbos. But if we really hold like the Gra, we don't have to stretch extra for Kriya Shema. We don't have to stretch for a Tainus Darabana. We don't have to stretch for this and for that. Which is why the Minhag Olam is to be less Machmir for Kriya Shema. Because if we're real grunics, then just because we go 8.5 degrees for Matzei Shabbos, that's because of Chumrah de Shabbos and because of Tosefis Shabbos. It's already in Rishonim that you should wait longer on Matzei Shabbos. Right? Rabbi Yonah says, if I'm not correct, wait for 3 small stars, not 3 medium stars. Okay, but if it's not for Matzei Shabbos, then we should wait less minutes. And that's the Minhag Olam. That's why we really, Minhag Olam is not like Rav Moshe, except among the Rav Moshe Talmidim. All right, enough said. This is a whole sugya. I hope I've succeeded in partially illuminating us and not just partially confusing us. But the Ad Hayom Hazeh, I still wait till Matzei Shabbos time to say Kriya Shema at night because it's my minhag since I was 17 years old. And, you know, even though I don't agree with this Rav Moshe anymore. But, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So b'seir. But I don't teach my kids to do that. I teach my kids to repeat Kriya Shema after, or not to repeat Kriya Shema because the minhag waits, or in strange cases, to repeat Kriya Shema after the time of the Banish Mashos of the Baal HaTanya, which is the minhag Olam. Okay, the continuing. Here we have a bit of a distraction. We'll try to run through this quickly because see. What if it's still night light outside, but it's already nighttime? Is it too late for a hefsekara? How can it still be? The sun still be in the sky and it be nighttime? If you daven Maariv. What if you made early Shabbos? Or in the old days in Europe, and in many places nowadays in the summer, they daven Maariv early all 7 days a week. Or 6 days a week. I don't think it's Saturday night. Right? There's a lot of places nowadays where they daven Maariv early all week long.
Some places even
Shabbos. Okay, maybe some places even Shabbos. Who knows? Okay. I mean, I don't know what they do in Oslo or someplace, you know. Do they ever wait till, you know, 11:30 at night? Or maybe, whatever it is. Says the Rambam, Yesh Omrim Shemes Palu Akol Arvis Viodayam Godol Eini Cholo Livdok Az Lilbosh Levanim. Some people say if they already davened, even though the sun's still in the sky and there's lots of time left to the day, she cannot do a hefsek tara and start wearing her white and start counting Shemekim Hasli Yom Liyol Vafras Me'achar Dakol for us also Lila. Some people say it's too late to do a hefsek tara once the community davened Maariv because then it would be a tarki v'sasri. The community daven Maariv, they consider it nighttime. If it's nighttime, then it's too late to do a hefsek tara. And therefore, she loses out and she gets a hefsek tara. That's the Trumas HaDeshen. V'yei shomer demutter afiloso kol Shabbos. Some say it's mutter. Not only if they daven maariv, even if they daven maariv Friday night and started Shabbos, which is a very serious change of day, and has a chalos to oraisa according to most Rishonim starting Shabbos early, right? So sefer Shabbos, the chalos from the Torah. Nonetheless, just because they daven maariv early doesn't change your shivan nikiyam. There's maariv days and Shabbos days, and there's nida days. For maariv and Shabbos is already Shabbos, but for nida, it's still the daytime. And what is our psak? The minig is that l'chachilu or machmer, and b'di'eved we are mekel. What does this mean? Meaning, well, let's see. Umitzas nashim nogosh in paska kodem baruch hu v'chazu l'uris kesem odam tokim isvi rasa oz mafsikin afilu le'achar baruch hu im niskalk o samach le'erev v'chosim davrzel di'eved v'in limchos v'yodin k'in kiblu me'izah chacham shahor lehen. And some women have the minhag that, and here there's two ways to read this Ramah. There's the Shach way, and there is the Bach way. We will read it. actually, maybe they don't have two different ways of mamash reading the Ramah. He says that there are some women who have the minhag that if they did a heftig, if they did a heftig before Baruch Hu, and then they see a kesem where they bleed during the time of Sfira, then they can do a heftig even after Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu means Mariv. Baruch Hu starts Mariv. If she saw the blood when it's close to nighttime, and she can still do the heftig as long as the sun is out, and that's called b'di'eved, and that's okay because they receive this in their chachamim, and it is a properly established minhag. Okay, the lemaisa, there's some debate exactly what their minhag was. Was the minhag only if, like, they did a heftibor baruch and then saw dam again after baruch that night, or even any night from then on? Lemaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin that any b'di'eved is called b'di'eved. We paskin like the shach here that. What if the blood only came after Baruch Hu? Then that's b'di'eved already. And therefore, she can do a hefsek after Baruch Hu as long as the sun is still shining. Not only that, Sidur Tara says, what if she stam forgot till after Baruch Hu? That's called b'di'eved. And she can do a hefsek after Baruch Hu as long as the sun is shining. Basically, bottom line, halacha l'maisa l'chatchila, she should plan to do a hefsek Tara before Baruch Hu. However, if for whatever reason she didn't do a hefsek tara and it's now after Baruch Hu with the sun is shining, whether she just forgot until now, or whether she did a hefsek tara but then found another drop of blood and now wants to do another hefsek tara, whatever the reason is, b'di'eved, if before Baruch Hu, we tell her, be matriach yourself, go out of your way to do a hefsek before Baruch Hu. If it's already after Baruch Hu, then she can do a hefsek after Baruch Hu. So, bottom line, she can be yotzei hefsek after Baruch Hu.
According to the Shita, would it be appropriate to teach women to do a moch from the Zman of early Shabbos until...
No. Since a moch is only chumrah, then it's enough to do it in the regular B'nai Shvashas. I don't think...
Meaning they should start it late.
Yes, they should start the moch later. Okay, there's a big discussion in the Shach. What if this all of the Kol Daven Maariv? What if she also daven Maariv? Can she still be Mako, b'di'eved, to do a Hefsekara after she herself daven Maariv? So, the Shach actually says, the Ugger says she can be Mako, the Shach says he can't. The later Achronim pass like the Ugger against the Shach and say, even after Maariv, she can, even after she daven Maariv, she can be Mako. So, bottom line, let's not be confused. Lechachila, always do her Hefsek before Baruch Hu. B'di'eved, no matter what the reason is that she didn't do it yet, and whether she daven Maariv, whether the Kol daven Maariv, whether she and the Kol daven Maariv, whether it was a weekday, whether it was Shabbos, doesn't matter. She can still do a hefsek b'di'eved until the sun sets, and it's okay. Bottom line. Okay. Let's go to Sif Beis then. Yes?
Does the Shabbos understand the Ugger like that, like his Shita again, about the 12?
Oh, sorry, at the end of the, not the Ugger, at the end of the Shach, he quotes something to do. He quotes something with this Ugger. Okay, the end of the there's two things that are very confusing here. First of all, the Taz of Kadan Aleph, I'm not going to mention. No Achron has succeeded making sense of it. So we can just ignore this Taz of Kadan Aleph. Unless you want to be a Chadash way of making sense of it. But all the Gdolei Achronim have tried very hard. The Shach, the end of Sukkot Dalet, brings back the Shita Dechuya. Even though Shach usually says something, it's at least the Shita. But this Shach is a Shita Dechuya Legamre. The Ugger says the day is 24 hours. What did the Ugger mean? The Ugger meant 24 hours from sunset to sunset. It doesn't matter when you got Maariv. Right? That's all the Ugger meant. 24 hours based on the sun, not based on Maariv. The Shach says, no, this goes back to the Aviasaf, that the day is 24 hours based on 6 to 6 and all kinds of new ways of counting the day. This is Shita Dechuya. No one is Choshish, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumer, Bein Le'anything for this. This Shita Dechuya. I mean, the Shach didn't make up. Although here the Shach did make it up. Because Tena, if you want to say it for Vestos, it's at least a real Aviasaf. Right? And an Orza and a Ravon. It's a real Masorah of minority of Chachmei Ashkenaz. And even then it's a Shita Dechuya. But for the Shach to start applying the Hefzikara? I mean, you want to say Vestos has its own weird pattern of day and night? Oh, you could say that. Who knows how Vestos follows? But you want to say Shivan Nikiyim doesn't depend on regular halachic days? But the Shivan Nikiyim starts at 6 p.m. no matter what season it is? You know, I don't understand how the Shach could say this. That's a Shita Dechuya that we don't even understand. Okay, so somehow, I don't know what, through some strange confluence of forces of Sitra Achra, we have two things in the Nosei Kalim in this Sif that we can't possibly make sense of. We spoke to the Shach and Taz themselves. They would either say, oh, that's not what I meant to write, or they would say, no, I really have a Hesber, it's just you didn't think of it. But Lemaisa, the Taz of Kadan Aleph, we don't understand, and the Shach, the end of Sukkot and Dalid, we really don't understand either. How can you possibly say that the day goes by like 24 hours on a clock and not by halachic definition of day and night? I can't possibly understand. Can you?
No, isn't the Shach postulating? It's not like it's like that weird. Isn't the Shach postulating?
But it's still a Shita Dechuya.
But not to the Shach.
I didn't say the Shach. I said to Orthodox Jews in the 21st century. And the 20th, for that matter.
No, I'm saying for...
And the 19th.
It's not that weird that he invoked that.
No, so again, it's not so weird that he invoked them in Kuf Pei Tes. Because you know what? There are a bunch of Rishonim who say that. But here, I'm not here to criticize Shach. Here, it's just Merapsid angry. I don't understand how you could possibly say that the Gedder of when Shivan Nikiyim starts depends on when it's 6 p.m. and not on, you know, halachic definition of day and night. All right, you can... Viter. Says the Mechaber Beis, Rasha Yom Echad Bilvad, what if she had a one-day period? Upaska Boba Yom, and she had a Hefzikar on the first day. Tzricha Livdok Atma Moch Dochuk, V'shehei Sham Kol Bein HaShmashos. She must do a Moch Dochuk, which should be their all Bein HaShmashos. And here's a Machlok, is what he meant. Did he mean she must do a Moch Dochuk, even B'di Evet she needs a Moch Dochuk if it's one day, and there's no room for compromise? Or did she mean, the Gra, she must L'chad Chila do a Moch Dochuk? Okay, says the Ramah, but the Ramah is very clear. But the evidence, but God's Masoch Benish Moshos, but Tzatzim Tahora, Afish Lohaya Mochetz Lekol Benish Moshos, Sagi Avol B'dichas Shachar Shlom Mahani Hov L'Ras Arak Yom Echad. The Ramah is very clear. He admits L'Chachili Nim Ochdachuk because he only says B'di Eved, but he says B'di Eved. Agav the Gra not only thinks the Machaber holds that way, the Gra Paskins that way. Even B'di'evit, he passed the Nini Mokhtach on the first day. He didn't just say that's Mechaber. He says that's Mechaber, and even though I'm Ashkenazic, I hope like the Mechaber against the Ramah. And not that the Gra cared that he was Ashkenazic in Pesach. He just cared who was right. Okay. Lemaisa, the Ramah, everyone agrees L'chachili Nini Mokhtach. Everyone meaning Shulchan Aruch and on. B'di'evit, the Gra says you need a Mokhtach, even B'di'evit, the Mechaber might or may not mean that. But the Ramah is very clear that Minim and Kolomal is good enough with the Eved. Modern day postkim are somewhat split, but the majority of modern day postkim assume, like the Ramah, that with the Eved, Minim and Kolomal is good enough. However, Shachris is not good enough. We're not so much on the Rashba. On day one. Okay. That is the halacha of day one. Let me just erase this and put the chart on the board to be very, very clear. Even though it's already clear. Day one, day two plus, Shachris, Min HaMincha Ulamala, and Elchanan will remind us that the later the better. And Moch Dachuk, on day one, this is Kasher B'di'eved in Shachris, Lechatchila you read the afternoon, and it is Yesh Lehachmir for Moch Dachuk. Oh, sorry, that was, as I was saying, that's on day two and on. On day one, Shachris is Puzzle.
Just, that's it. Try again the next day. Nothing you can do.
Mina Mincha Ulamala is Kasher B'di'eved Lefi Ramah. And Moch Dachuk is Chayav Lechatchila. Or is Lechatchila you need to do Moch Dachuk. Mina Mincha Lefi Ramah. Have a low Lefigra. Right, Mina Mincha Ulamala according to Ramah, who we follow, is Kasher B'di'eved. And Shachris is Pasul Gamri. Now, the question is, when did this Chumr of day one come up? So here, first, we have a tremendous machlokes achronim. There's two achronim throwing a curveball here, and it's not their own curveball. It's pretty mefurish in Tosfos, on Daf Samech Chesem Beis. The Sidrei Taran Lechavos Das throwing a curveball. They say, when do, for our women, when does day one ever come up? After all, what's the minhag? You can never do a hefzik tara chesgi until day five for Ashkenazim. Okay, Svardim are super duper mako. Day four. Shkayach. Right? You can't do a hefzik tara until day five or day four. Not to mention the fact that your period doesn't end until day five or day four. But even if you would have like just a short bleeding for whatever reason or kesem or something, you can't do a hefzik tara until day five or day four. So when does day one come up? So, simple pshat is, day one doesn't come up a lot for us. Good, so we don't have to worry about all these chumras. The Chavos Das and the Sidrei Tara, based on Tosfos, have a tremendous chiddush. What is there? It's not a chiddush. It's just against all the other achronim. What about, what if you bleed for 5 days? What is the status of day five, if you bleed for 5 days? On the one hand, day five is day two plus, right? So we're not so machmir. But on the other hand, you bled on day five. That's the first day of that bleeding. Maybe all the coolest of day two, three, and four is since you bled. After all, it's not such a machmir day since you haven't bled that day. But maybe any day you bleed counts as day one. That's the question. Does day one mean any day you bleed or the first day of bleeding? Right? What are the two shitas? Day one equals a day of bleeding. Or do we say no? Day one means the first day of bleeding. But the second day of bleeding is day two, and the fifth day of bleeding is day five. This is not meaning for all of our women nowadays. How about regular women nowadays? Regular women do a hefsek on the day they bleed that night and that morning, they do a hefsek in the afternoon. At least half the time. Many women nowadays, I would venture to say, I don't know, many women nowadays, it's hard to say which 51%, which 49%. Very common nowadays that a woman will mamish bleed for 5 days, but then be clean at the end of the fifth day and do a hefsek. Even if she bleeds like at night, that's still on that day. So does that count as day one? In which case, she has a lot of chumras, that changes day two plus. So, don't you think? I mean, if you read the Shulchan Aruch, then what does that day count as? Yeah, of course, he told us if you bleed for 2 or 3 days into a hefsek, then that's called day two, right? The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Shach, clearly, the Shach says, what's the nafkamin of day one anyway? We never do it. And the poskim all say, of course, that's called day two and on. However, the
two achronim, the Chavos Da'as and the Sibrei Tara, based on Tosfos. They also throw in, how do we know, maybe the first 2 days weren't really blood in that, but that's, there's a ways out of that. Tosfos says, any day you bleed counts as day one. Then that's a big chumrah. Meaning a regular woman nowadays, is she a day two plus woman or a day one woman? According to the Chavos Da'as and Sibrei Tara, a regular woman is a day one woman. Whoa, now we have big chumras. Now she absolutely needs a mochdachuk with hachila. And even b'di'evan, according to the Grah, she needs a mochdachuk. And even b'di'evan, according to the Ramah, meaning they don't combine this with the Grah. That would be too chumra. They say, then all women nowadays, l'chachila need mochdachuk, and b'di'evan need mechomala. Don't even bother with chakras. It doesn't help even b'di'evan. That's the big chumra, according to the Chavos Da'as, Sibrei Tara. And none of them say to add the Grah here. That would be too machmir. They're just not the tsar of those shitas. But it's very machmir. All women nowadays need a mochdochot l'chachila and min a minchol malo b'dievet. According to the machaber, the rabban, the shach, and everyone else, no, that's crazy. That's called day two and on. Which is pasuk shot in the Gemara. Pasuk shot in the Gemara is what do you mean by day two? It means day two of your period. So, halacha l'maisa, all the later achronim paskin. Against the Chavos Da'as and the Sibrei Tara. So there is a shita that way, but Lemaisa, we don't pass that way. We pass that our women nowadays, that's the answer to Elchanan's question from an hour ago, right? We pass that our women nowadays are called day two and on, and even if you bleed that day, but if you also bled yesterday, then that's day two. And if you also bled yesterday, the day before, it's day three, etc. Okay, so there is a shita out there, but we don't hold like it. Okay, hey, you could say it's a good reason to be a little extra machmir because there is a sheet out there, but lemaisa, we don't like it. Okay, one last question. So how does day one apply to us? What's the relevance for us, not the Chavos Da'as and the Sibrei Tara? According to the Chavos Da'as and the Sibrei Tara, the relevance to every woman. What's relevant for us? What is the after all, we always have to count 4 or 5 days before we do our hefset. What's the relevance?
Isn't that true? Like, we don't expect to be bleeding. So
says, but we paskin, we also have to wait 5 days for a kesem.
You see something in the king.
I'm saying you could still do it then and like wait a few days if you want. Like that goes back.
Ah, so some of the later comes say if you decide to. Correct. What if you decide to do a hefset tara on the first day? All right, that's
well,
relevant.
The kesem, she knows, like,
right. What if she didn't have the kesem and decides to do a hefset tara on the first day? Relevant, but you know, so just don't decide. Says Yosef, not Yosef. Says the shach. If she bleeds in the middle of Shivan Akiyam, then that's a new bleeding. If she bleeds in the middle of Shivan Akiyam, it's a new bleeding, then it's called day one. So relevance for us is what's called soteres, what the lashon of the shach, betokime sphira, or he doesn't say soteres, he says relevance for us is chazra virasa toch Yemei Sfira. If she counted 1, 2, 3, 4 clean days and then started bleeding again for 1 day. Now she only bled for 1 day. Since she only bled for 1 day, and everyone knows, we'll get to, you don't have to wait for the 4th and 5th day if you're mafsik and so you're Shivan Akiyam. So then she might do a hefsek on the first day, and then the chumra of the first day apply. Okay, that is halacha l'maaseh. If she starts bleeding again in the middle of Shivan Akiyam, for only 1 day, then she's allowed to do her hefsek tara right away, but she has to count that as the first day, and the chiyuv gomer l'chachila to do mochdachuk, and even b'di'evit has to be minimin cholamala. So that's the only normal the only common case, if not so common, where it might be relevant. They say there are other strange cases. Some they say for a kala who only bleeds for 1 day, a kala also doesn't wait 4 or 5 days because she has no shechazera. The minikala before the wedding. But lemaisa, that's what would come up, says the shach, which means that if a woman has 4 or 5 clean days and then starts bleeding again for 1 day, then she has to know that sif beis applies to her, not sif aleph. Halach lemaisa, how do we know what's called continuing the period and what's called starting to bleed again? So the Shevet Halevi says here that, well, if her first day of Shivan Akiyam she bleeds, then that's not the first day. That's the 6th or 7th day, because she's bled every day. But if the first day is clean and on the second day she bleeds, then that's called a new bleeding and it's only a 1 day bleeding. Right, Willig is very makel about this.
right? Willing says, and this is a bit of a chiddush based on his idea about what's called re'iyah. He says, only if she really has a flow of blood do we say she's hochsak b'mayon pasuach and she's b'chezkas bleeding and we would apply these chumers on the first day. But if she just finds a drop of blood, then we would not be machmir about this. So, right, Willig says you don't have to be machmir if she merely found a drop of blood on a bika, if there wasn't a real flow, because the whole shash is that when there's a flow of blood, so it's going to continue. But one little drop of blood we're not choshesh for. So, there is...
even in the middle?
Even in the middle. He would say if on the fifth day you found a drop of blood on the bika cloth, then you don't need to be so pressured about a mochtachuk. Therefore, right, Willig is pretty makel that, like, if you mess up in the middle of Shivanikim, you don't need to be pressured to do a mochtachuk, and he's very makel about these things. So, Lamaisa, there is room to be makel, but b'ikaron, let's just summarize, if you start counting clean days, and then you, after a hefsek of a clean day, you bleed again. Then the shach says for a kesem wouldn't be machmir, only for a re'iyah mamish. So let's just summarize again. What happens if after a clean day? Some people say even after a clean minute. Well, let's assume after a clean day. That's what most people say. If after a clean day she sees a kesem, then the shach says, then we're not so machmir. Efshar lahakel. Kesem, then we treat it as day 2 plus. Why? Because some are very makel. If she sees a flow of dam, then we for sure treat it as day 1. If she sees a spot on a bedika cloth, then that's more serious than a kesem. It's not mamasha flow. Then the standard minhag olam is to treat that as day 1. But Rabbi Willig is Mekel and calls that day 2 plus because he says that that's not a Re'iyah Gemura and it's not necessarily a Chazaka that she's going to keep bleeding because it's not a Re'iyah Kedera Kala Olam. And therefore, he's more Mekel about that. So Lamaisa, there is room to be Mekel, certainly if it's not convenient or difficult, etc. Then Rabbi Willig is Mekel that can you not do a Mochdochuk if it's hard for you? And you find a drop of blood in the middle of Shivanikiyam. Sorry, well, it says, yes, there's room to be makel. Because maybe the shach only meant to be macher by a flow mamish and not by a drop of a medika cloth. Okay. So much for, there's only one more thing I have to discuss about. I mean, there's a lot more, but I keep saying we have to move and I keep lying. No, I'm telling the truth. We do have to. One more thing I have to mention, very important, Chumr the Chazon Ish. Read Gimel. Sif Gimel. B'yom shebosekes b'liros, ubodekas atzma, ka'omar, on the day her period stops, and she does this hefsek tara, like we said, tilbash, cholok ha'bodek lo she'im bo kesem, she should wear a clean dress that has no stains on it, so she can tell if new blood comes or not. Ubalayla tossim steenim abdukim miksamim, and at night she should put on sheets that are clean and have no stains, so she can tell if more blood is coming or not. Umiyom amachros tachtalos for Shivanikiyam. The next day starts and it's day 1 of Shivanikiyam. If you do your hefsek on Monday, then Tuesday is day 1 of Shivanikiyam. At the moment at kosher, the proper minute, she isha posekim b'tara, when she does hefsek tara, she tirchatz. She washes herself, loveshes levanim, and wears white clothing. Anam l'rochza rachman eshamata. But if she doesn't have a chance to do a good wash, a good shower bath, she just washes her genitals a little. Dai bekach, that's good enough. Okay, so she doesn't have shower facilities like in the old days. She just washes her genitals a little, and that's good enough. And that way she can, so she'll get rid of any dirt, and she can tell if new blood comes.
Okay, so what's the similar, like, why should we care about her washing her elbow?
I assume so she can tell if more blood comes on her elbow. Well, her elbow. Let's say not her elbow, but let's say her toes, her big toe. Remember the big toe? She should wash her big toe so that if new blood comes, she'll notice. Imagine if her big toe is full of caked on dirt and mud, and then she won't notice that there's any blood there. So she should wash her toes so she'll notice that there's blood there. Okay, but says the Rama. Again, this is before they invented underwear, right? Says the Rama, if she just washed her genitals, that's good enough. Chei nogim and nishanos, that's the minute. We'll come back to that in a moment. Okay. The washing. What kind of washing are we dealing with here? What if she actually washes out inside? Right? She washes the whole, you know, she doesn't just do an external wash like most people do in a regular shower. What if she washes out, cleans out the whole vaginal canal and gets rid of anything from there, makes it sparkling clean, and then does a hefsetara? What do you think she's going to find in her hefsetara? Nothing, right? So, is that good enough? Is that good enough? She washes out everything. Not just an external washing. She washes out everything, and then right away does a medika. Is that good enough? That's right, has a tower. And guess what? She'll find it clean. Shkoyach. Is that good enough? This is a machlok between the Chazon Ish and all the other poskim. Says the Chazon Ish, says, no, that's ridiculous. That doesn't prove anything. That's cheating. You have to, like, if you want hygiene, you can wash whatever you want. Just then wait 15 minutes. And then, he doesn't say the amount. That's what people say. And then check. Right? You have to really prove something with the checking. Or what about this case? What if she does a hepsic tyra and finds a little blood? Does another hepsic tyra, finds a little blood. Does another hepsic tyra, finds the tiniest drop of blood, but has wiped it all away. Does another hepsic tyra, and guess what? Now it's clean. Because she wiped away all the blood 10 seconds ago. So that's Chazon Ish. That doesn't count. That doesn't prove anything. That proves she's bleeding. She wiped it away and found 1 second in between bloods. Says the Chazon Ish, after all, the blood comes in drips and drabs. You can always find 1 second without blood. That's not a hefsetara. If you wait 15 minutes and then you check, that's a hefsetara, because that really shows that you stopped bleeding. So the Chazon Ish is machmir that a hefsetara only works if you have time for blood to accumulate. The most poskim disagree. Most poskim say no. What if I wash the whole makom inside totally clean and then I do a hefsek tahara 1 second later? What does that prove? That this 1 second I'm not bleeding. Say the other poskim, that's good enough. Hefsek tahara just has to prove that you're not bleeding for 1 second. Why? Because of the chazaka. If you're not bleeding for 1 second, then you keep not bleeding until proven otherwise. Chazaka only needs 1 second. If you have a cow and you know that cow's kosher for 1 second, it's becheskes kashrus. You don't need to know it's kosher for 3 days. Anything that's true for 1 second is true. If you know a guy's kosher l'edus for 1 second, then he is becheskes kashrus. If you know someone's married for 1 second, they're becheskes nesuah. Chazakas only need 1 second. Says Chazon Ish, says, no, that's other kinds of chazakas. But here, you have to prove that a certain biological process has stopped. 1 second doesn't prove the biological process stopped. And the other posters say, no, 1 second proves she's not bleeding now. So she keeps not bleeding.
That would be true, like, in a minute. Surely a moment when she's not bleeding.
Yeah. And so the other post would say, great, and then she's becheskes tahara. And then if she bleeds again, she'll ruin the becheskes tahara. Okay, l'maisa, this is a famous machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the other poskim. Whether you have to wait 15 minutes between bedika to bedika or between inside washing to bedika. Right? So how about bedika to bedika, or rechitsa pnimit to bedika, says the Chazon Ish, you need time. We normally assume that is 15 minutes. Says the other poskim, nope, 1 second is good enough. And just one is looking at more formally, one more practically. If you look at it formally, if this second you're not bleeding, then you're not bleeding until proven otherwise. Hefsek tahara. Says Chazon Ish, now look at it more practically. To know that a process of menstruation has stopped, you need to give it some time. Otherwise, you don't know anything. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? We paskin. Bidyeved against the Chazon Ish. What do you mean bidyeved? Not if it happened. Let's say she did a bedika and there was a tiny bit of blood. And there's 30 seconds till Shkia. She should do another bedika, and if it's clean, she's Becheskes Tara. Ah, Chesky will say, but what if she's cheating and she's really going to keep bleeding? Okay, if she keeps bleeding, she'll discover it during Shiva Nikita and she'll have to start again. You're not going to fool anyone. Eventually, you'll have to pay the piper.
Well, she might not. That's, I mean,
and if she might not, then that's life.
It's cheap.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay. We paskin me'ikr hadin, not like the Chazanish. Me'ikr did not like the Chazanish. However, lechatchila plus another reason. Lechatchila, we should be machal like the Chazanish. Lechatchila, if she wants to have zektara, she should sit half hour before shkia. Do a zektara. If it's not good, she should wait 15 minutes to do another one. If it's not good, she should wait 15 minutes to do another one. If she wants to do an internal rinsing, she should do it half hour before shkia. Wait 15 minutes, do a zektara. Lechatchila, we machal like the Chazanish. Bindi Eved, if it's 1 second, she could do it again. If it's almost shkia, let her try to chapa hefzektara and do the best she can. The reason we're lechachila macher is not only because of the chazanish, it's also for practical reasons. What's the practical reason? That when Hashem made the olam and the species, right, he wanted, obviously one of his main goals in Bria's olam, or main, not end goal, but almost end goal, is that lo l'tov b'ra l'shem z'yitzari. He wants all the species to propagate. If they do that, they have to engage in tashmish. But it might be hard to engage in tashmish because that means the zachar has to insert his aver into the nekeva. And that can be very painful to have something inserted into you. So, don't worry, Hashem took care of everything when he made the world. He made part of the natural biology of a female is that there's a certain lubricant which is created but also mako naturally by the body that helps things go in more smoothly. That's part of the Bria. So let's say a woman wants to have Siktara. So isn't it going to hurt and be hard and maybe scratch herself? No, there'll be natural lubricant and that'll be okay. What if she just did a hefsik and a second later did another hefsik? The first time wiped away all the lubricant. Now the second time's going to be hard. Maybe it'll be painful. Maybe it'll make a scratch and you'll have damak and all kinds of shilas. What if she just washed? You wash away all the lubricant. And now, so therefore, A, to be machal gazanish, and two, for practical reasons, you should wait between washing, internal rinsing and a hefsik, or between hefsik and hefsik. Just because otherwise, then it can be too rough, and it can lead to A, discomfort, and B, potential shilas of scratches. And therefore, for both halachic and practical reasons, you should take a break between attempted hefsiks. But that's lechatchila. If she did a hefsik 5 minutes before shkia, and it wasn't good, then she should try again a minute later, 4 minutes before shkia. If that's not good, she should try again a minute later, and when you don't have time left, then you don't have to be machmer.
Would you recommend using a non-natural lubricant?
This is a big, big shaila in the poskim. What if a woman has a hard time with bedikos because it's just very sensitive and rough for her and it's very difficult for her. Can she either wet the bedika cloth to make it slide a little better or put a natural lubricant on the bedika cloth? Right? Any type of petroleum jelly kind of thing, whatever. Vaseline, let's say. There are better ones. That'll help make it slide better. So this is very, very controversial for the following reason, which is that the whole point of the bedika is to catch blood, right? That's like ABCs, right? The problem is if you wet a bedika cloth, it could wash away and dilute the blood instead of catching it. Not if there's an ounce of blood. But I'm saying there's a drop of blood and you put a wet bedika cloth, it's like washing something with a wet cloth that it disappears. And a lubricant repels things. So instead of catching it, it'll repel the dam, or it might dilute it, or whatever it might do. I'm not such a good chemist. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, this is a big machlokis among the poskim. We paskin that it's a very, 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 very dachok. You need a big shasat chak to allow lubricating the bedika cloth, or wetting the bedika cloth, because that's not just like a chomer or whatever. That, like, it takes away from the actual maisa that it's supposed to do. And therefore, if it's a big shasat chak, then you can be mako, but only if it's a really Only if it's a big shas and chak, and even then, only a little. But you shouldn't be makel more than necessary. So, if it's really, like, what are you going to do? You don't have a choice. Then you can rely on the kelim. But it's very bitty, it's very bitty of it. It's very bitty of it, because it seems really problematic. And therefore, there are mekilim, if you're really stuck relying on the mekilim, but only if you really have no choice.
Have no choice means the woman is very sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, she won't be able to do the bedikas.
Let's say it's like 7 days before her wedding. Would that be considered a big shas chak, or...?
Look, you have to use your judgment, you have to use your judgment to do the best you can, but it's a big kula. It's a big kula, and we try to avoid it. Only if we're super duper stuck. Only if we're super duper stuck. I'll just point out one thing. We're way overdue, but once we read Sif Gimel, anyone notice what the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah was? The Ramah says it's good to wash. That just keeps things, this way, if you find new blood, the difference between new blood and old blood. That's a good Eitzah Tovah, Shkoyach. What's the main difference between the Mechaber and the Ramah?
That she can start conjuring Kiyam even if she doesn't have white veil.
And more than that, did the Mechaber say the word white?
Oh.
Mechaber never said white. He says, what do you have to wear during Shemini Kiyam? Clean. He never said white. Just need clean clothing and clean sheets. Says her, I'm all white. Says her at the end, B'shas Adchak, she's on a business trip and she has no clean clothing. She can count as long as she dresses Naku Badik Midam, as long as it's clean. Says her, B'shas Adchak, you can use clean, but L'chachilu, you need white. That's a tremendous machlokas. The Machaber says you don't need white. I know it's called Yemei Livon. That means it's you don't see red. You don't need white clothing. The Ramah says you need white clothing. B'shas Adchak, b'di'evet, you can make do with colored, clean, but you need white clothing. We paskin like the Ramah, you need white clothing shemini kiyam. In the old days, there were people who put on white sheets, and in the old days, there were people who wore a white dress. Nowadays, we invented underwear. You don't need white dress. You don't need white sheets. You don't need white. You only need white underwear. Why? Even though there's still some people who wear white sheets because their grandmother did, and not a problem. I mean, during Shemini Kiyam, you shouldn't wear white sheets the rest of the month because you want to save yourselves from summer. But during Shemini Kiyam, nothing wrong with it. But halachically, there's no need to go out and buy white sheets. The kal doesn't have to buy white sheets. We all sleep in underwear. And lamaisa, if the blood's not going to get into the sheet without going through the underwear first, that would require things that are against the laws of physics. We don't know how to beam it from her body to the sheet without going through the underwear. So therefore, she has to wear white underwear. And that's halacha l'maisa. She wears white underwear. B'shas Adchak. If she doesn't have white underwear, then she can wear colored underwear. This is all the time. One's on a business trip. I forgot to bring white underwear, and I'm starting Shemini. Just in Heptatara, I forgot to pack white underwear. What should I do? So the answer is, so wear clean colored underwear. That's the Ramah says, a business trip. But l'chadchila, if you're home, you should have white underwear. So I got a shadow. Should I go to the store and buy white underwear? That depends. If it's convenient for you, go buy white underwear. And if it's not, if it's hard for you, then don't. You have to use your judgment. In the Ramah's days, they didn't have stores everywhere. So it depends if the store is convenient or not. But lemaisa, you can use colored if you are stuck. Okay, there's more details I want to discuss in terms of this, but maybe we'll just open with that next time because the hour is late.